namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 11, Text 8. Tariram kalarasanam jagat pasyanti suraya narishanti nasochanti tatra yuyam apandita. Tat, therefore, idam, this whole material world, kalarasanam, is moving because of time eternal. Jagat, moving forward. Pasyanti, observe. Suraya, those who are intelligent by admission of the truth. Not. Rishanti, become jubilant. No. Sochanti, lament. Tatra, in such. Yuyam, all of you demigods. Apandita, not very learned. Translation. Seeing the movements of time, those who are cognizant of the real truth neither rejoice nor lament for different circumstances. Therefore, because you are jubilant due to your victory, you should be considered not very learned. Translation, please repeat. Seeing the movements of time, those who are cognizant of the real truth neither rejoice nor lament for different circumstances. Therefore, because you are jubilant due to your victory, you should be considered not very learned. Purport. Bali Maharaj knew that Indra, king of heaven, was extremely powerful, certainly more powerful than he himself. Nonetheless, Bali Maharaj challenged Indra by saying that Indra was not a very learned person. In Bhagavad Gita 2.11, Krishna rebuked Arjuna by saying, Asochanan vasochastram pragavarangschabhasase gatasun agatasumscha nanu sochanti pandita. While speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. Thus, as Krishna challenged Arjuna by saying that he was not a pandit or a learned person, Bali Maharaj also challenged King Indra and his associates. In this material world, everything happens under the influence of time. Consequently, for a learned person who sees how things are taking place, there is no question of being sorry or happy because of the waves of material nature. After all, since we are being carried away by these waves, what is the meaning of being jubilant or morose? One who is fully conversant with the laws of nature is never jubilant or morose because of nature's activities. In Bhagavad Gita 2.14, Krishna advises that one be tolerant, tamstha tiksha shrabharata. Following this advice of Krishna's, one should not be morose or unhappy because of circumstantial changes. This is the symptom of a devotee. A devotee carries out his duty in Krishna consciousness and is never unhappy in awkward circumstances. He has full faith that in such circumstances Krishna protects his devotee. Therefore, a devotee never deviates from his prescribed duty of devotional service. The material qualities of jubilation and moroseness are present even in the demigods who are very highly situated in the upper planetary system. Therefore, when one is undisturbed by the so-called favorable and unfavorable circumstances of this material world, he should be understood to be Brahma-bhuta or self-realized. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma Bhuta Prasanat Mana Sochidina Kangshati. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. When one is undisturbed by material circumstances, he should be understood to be on the transcendental stage above the reactions of the three modes of material nature. Taridam kalarasanam jagat pasyanti suraya narishanti nasochanti tatra yuyam pandita. Seeing the movements of time, those who are cognizant of the real truth neither rejoice nor lament for different circumstances. Therefore, because you are jubilant due to your victory, you should be considered not very learned. Bali Maharaj speaking, chastising actually, King Indra. And we see the history here of this section of the Bhagavatam. And of course, I've just arrived, but you've been reading through, and the churning of the ocean of milk, and then the elixir of immortality, nectar, and the Mahini Murti, the form of the Lord, cheating the asuras and giving the nectar to the demigods, and then the fight after the challenge, the asuras to the devas, and fighting, going back and forth. And the demigods are victorious and the demons were victorious. Now, the demigods are being victorious. Indra is slaying his opponents and feeling jubilant and victorious in battle. Bali Maharaj is chastising him. You are not very learned. Now, King Indra is expected to be learned. He is a chief demigod. But still, as Prabhupada mentions here, that the material qualities of jubilation, moroseness are present even in the demigods, who are very highly situated in the higher planetary systems. So this is, now he says here, moroseness, jubilation and moroseness, this, dualities. now this is these are symptoms of the modes of material nature, especially the Rajaguna, mode of passion. Mode of passion. Mode of goodness may be very steady, not affected. And of course those in the transcendental position are living in another sphere. But the mode of goodness is very steady and doing his duty. Mode of passion is very much attached, working very hard, high expectations, attached to the result. When the result doesn't come, it's morose. The mode of passion. Mode of ignorance, you don't care one way or the other. So this, when we're very affected by the results of the thing, and Krishna tells us, Kamandivari Karaste Ma Paleshu Karachana Ma Kama Palet Mate Sangasvakam. You're all right to perform your duty, but don't be attached to the results. Don't perform your duty. Now just perform it according to what the instruction is. By the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by the Shastra, by the great sages. And I was just reading here, I just happened to open up the Gita, that on the very first page I opened it up to. An interesting verse. Tasmat ashakta satatam karyam karma samachara ashakto yacharam karma param apnoti purusha. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty. For by working without attachment, one attains the Supreme. And then Krishna says, Karmanaiva hisamsidim. Kings such as Janaka attain perfection solely by performance of duties. Here, Prabhupada quotes Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, Asochananva soches tram pragivarangsha basase gadasam agadasam shanana sochidi pandita. You are speaking in a learned way, but you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. The wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. Now, similar thing as Bali Maharaj is telling Indra. Same thing. And in fact, in that verse is from the second chapter, early on in the second chapter. I didn't get time to... But I know it's... Kutastva kashmilaminam vishame shamapashtitam. Where is it? Oh, here. Where have all these impurities come upon you? And now Krishna regards all this presentation of learning and culture and tradition and quoting from the various shastras. I mean, one can quote from shastras, but it's a question of understanding the proper context, of keeping things in proper perspective. And that can be only done by understanding from higher authorities. So when Arjuna becomes affected by what's going on, you know, when the battle of Kurukshetra is just about to begin, he draws up the chariot between the two armies. He sees all these Bhishma and Drona and so many on the other side. He becomes compassionate, becomes overwhelmed with with mundane compassion, actually. This type of compassion is mundane. It's not spiritual compassion. It's actually being... Of course, Arjuna was put in that position. He's a pure devotee. He was put in that position by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so Krishna could speak. So then Krishna, kutasva kashmilami, he considers an impurity, speaking like this, especially for someone... Now, Prabhupada actually mentions here, if I remember rightly, that he talks about Arjuna. Oh yeah, he talks about Arjuna doing his duty. It wasn't expected, he says here, that it wasn't expected for someone like Arjuna to be affected in that way. Someone in the position of Arjuna, Kshatriya, and I think Prabhupada mentions here about the Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas are a higher class. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas. This type of reaction is more expected of the Sudra class. Mundane compassion, being overwhelmed by emotion. These are Sudra qualities. So therefore, when Krishna chastises, where have all these impurities come up? Where they come from, he says. These are the qualities of the Sudra. A Brahmana is always a Brahmana. Everything is judged more or less on the principle and higher philosophy, and this is Brahmana. Kshatriya, doing the duty, managing the king, Vaishya, everything is considered good when he is also following his duty and he's doing business, making money. Now, Sudra, the main governing principle for a Sudra is sense gratification. Everything is good or bad according to sense gratification. That's how a Sudra judges a thing. Am I getting sense gratification? Oh, it's good. That thing is good. My sense gratification being disturbed. No, that's bad. That's a bad thing. A Vaishya is mainly money, whether a thing is good or not. Am I making money? Oh, it's good. Am I not making money? Anything's bad. The Kshatriya will be all management, arrangement. If something disturbs that, it'll be bad. If it's going good, that's good. And Brahman will be points of principle, philosophy. According to philosophy, it's good or bad. So this is this type of reaction of Arjuna, and this type of, even as far as Indra is concerned, being jubilant in victory, rejoicing. Now we can see that Bali Maharaj, and our Prabhupada mentions here that Bali Maharaj, he knew that he was not as powerful as Indra as far as military warfare. So we can understand, just by his statement here, that he is fighting out of a principle of duty. Therefore, whether he wins or whether he loses is immaterial as far as he's concerned. Main thing is he's doing his duty, and as I quoted from this, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty. Now, in Varnashrama, this is the main principle we have to remember. The Prabhupada talks about something else here as far as the duty of a devotee, and I'll get to that. But as far as Varnashrama, as I mentioned, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Sudras, and then you have your ashrams, your Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprasana, all have their Svadhamas. There's two things, Sanatana Dharma and Svadharma. They are going along on like a train track, parallel lines. Both have to be followed. Of course, if one is Nitya Siddha, Mahapurusha, then maybe you can just follow the Sanatana Dharma. But generally, people in the world have to follow Svadharma, their occupational duties. And they have to follow Sanatana, they have to follow the religious activities together. So the Brahmana, everyone, now all the Varnas and Ashrams will have duties that are similar to each other, and they'll also have duties very specific to their particular Varna and Ashram. The Brahmanas have their duty. Now they are meant to follow it. And the Kshatriyas have they are meant to follow it, Vaishyas, Sudras same. Sudras serving the others, Vaishyas have their, so on. And all the ashrams, whether you're, when you're a brahmachari, everyone has their duties that are similar, as I said. But, you know, the brahmacharis have their own sphere of activities, and the grihasthas, you know, you have your own sphere of activities at home, your family, everything like that. So there are svadharmas there. There are prescribed duties for your ashram. That if we find out what they are and follow them, that is very good. And vanaprastha has his or her duty as far as, you know, vanaprastha, sannyas. Sannyas has, you know, duties that perhaps are not the same as someone in the grihastha ashram. And the grihastha has duties that they're not the same as those in the sannyas. So if you just follow that, then you'll be elevated. Now, how to follow it? You follow it just as a matter of the principle of doing your duty, with unattached to the results. If something good comes, it comes. If something bad comes, it comes. And now Prabhupada is talking about devotees, especially here. But Bali Maharaj is talking about, Prabhupada talks about devotees and Kshatriyas. But Bali Maharaj is specifically talking about Kshatriya's position as King Indra is and he is. So even in Varnashram, one is supposed to perform their duty without being attached to the results. That's the secret of living in the world. When you're attached to the results, then your life becomes miserable. And this is the karmis, the materialists. Their life is totally attached to the results and driven, especially in Kali Yuga, mode of ignorance and mode of passion. Everyone, just like I was walking this morning, walking around chanting japa, 5 o'clock in the morning, freeways going, everyone's driving down 100 mile an hour, packed up. We saw in Europe also the same thing, highways, trucks, freeways. We were driving from one place to the other, packed up. I mean, I was walking with Prabhupada one time in Melbourne, Australia, and again, same thing. Early in the morning, we're in japa. I think Botanical Gardens. And he said these, and he just stopped actually. He said, these people are working so hard. He said, going at breakneck speed, from early in the morning. So people these days are working harder and harder, and Kali Yuga goes on, they'll be going on like that. Some people, they all they know is working. Like ants. See, ants are working all the time. Busy, busy, just running here and there, doing, building big things. You have termites, must have termites over here, right? So when you go out in the desert, you see the termites build these big, huge mounds. You seen that? Sometimes they can be 8, 10, 15 feet high. No, they're 20 feet high. Huge mound. And so many of them. You have that here? And in this Australian desert, you go driving out. And you see in the distance what looks like a big city. No, there's a city. No, there was a city out here. And as you come closer and closer, it's all these thousands and thousands of these termite mounds that are like 15, 20 from a distance. It looks like a kind of a old building, you know, like skyscrapers or something. Of course, you know, they're only 20 feet high, but when you're from a distance, it looks like a city's coming up. I wouldn't want to put my hand in here, but you were able to dissect it, you'll see all these pathways and everything, and all the little worker and termites, and they're all running around 100 mile an hour in there, working very hard. So people, they just all they know, they work hard, and 6-7 days a week, they get up early in the morning, see around here, 4-5 o'clock, they're driving off, come back, 7-8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, have something to eat, go to sleep, get up, do the same thing every day. And what for, to buy a house, to get a car, you know, make a lot of money or something like that. So, and then the whole life goes as the sun goes up. And this is mentioned here, especially the main point here, is the movement of time. The movement of time. Tadasmasana, that verse is one verse. Each day the sun, Ayuharati Vaikung Sank, Unyanastani. There's one verse in the Bhagavatam which states that as the sun rises, another day goes, sun sets, another day goes. For the kami is like that. It's lost, actually. So the movement of time. I read an article one time that the astronauts, when they go up into space, they can tune in to, you know, all the radio waves. And I read one description of one of them. He said that it's incredible that all this talking and going on and thousands of languages and it's unending. And we're up here just in another realm and looking down and here we can see the earth move around. So when you're up here, you get another perspective. When you're down here, you're right in the middle of everything that's going on. And because you're affected by the modes of material nature and attached to the results, you get affected, like anything, by what's going on in the world. when it happens to yourself directly, or to your family members, or to your extended family, or even if it's just, you know, like people get so worked up about sport, for example. You know, their team, their footy team, or their baseball team or something, you know, their team won, right? I mean, you know, and they're jubilant. Their team lost and they're morose. You know, people take it so seriously. It never ceases to amaze me. Seriously, they don't know anything about the players down there. I mean, they're the ones playing the game. If anyone should be affected the most, it should be them. But someone's sitting up in the stand or even watching it on the TV or hearing on the radio, and they're affected. In soccer we scored a goal. You see these soccer matches in Europe especially. Every time something, you know, the goal's scored, the whole stadium erupts, jump up and down. And when the other team scores a goal, they erupt up the other end. And if you're looking at it as a spectator, if you don't know the sport, what's going on? Why are they all so happy all of a sudden? Why are they all dejected? A final siren goes and they lost the match. Oh, they want to jump off a cliff or something like that. You're just over a game. It's just ridiculous. To us it seems ridiculous.
But to the people who are playing, or the people who are barricaded to that team, they're totally absorbed. So that's one of all, you know, relationships. You know, your wife, husband, sometimes you feel happy, sometimes you feel very... But now, in this circumstance, the Indra is feeling jubilant. And Bali is saying, you're not jubilant. Why are you feeling jubilant? Before he was feeling very dejected. I think that there was some instance in Manucci, in another chapter, he tried to kill the Manucci, one of the Asuras, and he threw all his, you know, invincible weapons, he threw them at him and it didn't kill him, and then he felt morose. And then some voice came, he can't be killed by any weapon, dry or wet, so he came up with a foam weapon or something like that. Was it like an earlier chapter, something like that? Whatever, a foam weapon. Then he threw the foam weapon and then Manucci was killed. And then he was jubilant. So these things, battles are going on. Sometimes, I remember driving in the car and I saw a mother chastising the daughter, and the daughter was crying. And you're driving past, and it's not affecting you because you're, you know, a spectator watching. But of course, for the mother and daughter, it's all seriousness, isn't it? So it's a question of perspective. And, we're running around here on Earth, small human beings, and then sometimes you'll watch insects, just like I mentioned, ants. Now, ants, as far as we're concerned, they're not very significant. They're ants. They're a mosquito. How long does a mosquito live? few days.
Someone said a few days. A mosquito lives a few days. So, you know, and in those few days, they're born, they grow, they mate, they have children, they have a whole life in those few days. But to us, it's insignificant, a few days. How can you have a whole life in a few days? If you were told, okay, you've got a few days, you know, and in those few days you've got to be born, you've got to grow up, you've got to do all those things. You'd think, what's the use of it all? Why bother? There's that story of the story of Arjuna. You know, you may have heard this. There's a story of Arjuna who was out hunting one time, and when he was going, there was one sage just sitting, meditating in this hot sun. And Arjuna paid his obeisances to him, touched his feet, and can I do some service? It's very hot here. Let me build you a cottage. So then you will be out of the sun, it's very hot. And the sage turned to him and he said, oh, don't bother. I'm just here temporarily. I'm just here in this world temporarily, don't bother. Now apparently that sage had some sort of benediction that he would live in the world for the amount of hairs he had on his body. Right? This was the benediction he had. The amount of hairs, and now how many hairs do we have on our body? I don't know. Some are hairier than others, I guess. Some are not so hairy. If you count my hairs, I probably have a couple of million of hairs. But, you know, so just imagine the amount of hairs on his body, I don't know, thousands of years. So I had a benediction to live with that. But he was thinking, I'm only here temporarily. Don't bother putting up a cottage. This was how aloof he was. So Arjuna can understand this man is very in a transcendental position. He's meditating. Even the hot sun is coming down. He is in another place. So intelligent persons understand these things, that everything is so temporary. Just like we see, you know, as I said, the insects. And I remember one time at our farm at New Govardhan, I was watching some insect crawling along, and then another insect pounced on that insect and started gobbling that insect up. And then, all of a sudden, as I was watching, a bird came down and swooped up the both of them. And I thought, well, that's it then, isn't it? The insect, the other insect who was probably jubilant getting his meal, and then all of a sudden he was eaten by the bird. I don't know, the bird flew off, maybe another big bird came and pounced on him, who knows? So it is a real struggle for existence, isn't it, in this world. Of course, we're looking at that and thinking, well, that's a real struggle. That I wouldn't like to be that insect, or those two insects. But our life is like that also. If you could look at our life through the eyes of the demigods, our life is very insignificant. And in Kali Yuga, it is reducing more and more and more. If someone can live to 100 years these days, that's a real thing. Not many people live to 100. You live to 80. So many people are dying, you know, 60 or 70, and so many diseases. So how long is our life going to be? Yet, you know, we work in this world so attached to so many things, and get so affected by so many things. You know, happiness and distress. Happiness doesn't last forever. You get something happening, doesn't last forever. And then the suffering comes, that doesn't last forever either. And then people react to both of them. Some people react to happiness. They think it's going to continue on forever, but it doesn't. And suffering. Some people get so affected, they want to end their life. Perhaps they want to jump off a bridge or jump in a river. You know, end it all. They're so affected by suffering. But that's also temporary. So so life becomes very full of anxiety. You never know what's going to happen. Happiness and distress. So Prabhupada actually says here, Tamstu Tikshvara, this is the verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Matra Spasha Takuntaya Sitoshna Sukadukada, Agama Paino Michas, Tamstu Tikshvara. What does Krishna say? How to live in the world? Who can answer? Tamstu Tikshvara, you know that verse from Bhagavad Gita? Matra Spasha Takuntaya, like the winter and the summer seasons, as they come and go. Tamstu Tikshvara. So happiness and distress, how should we, what should our attitude be to happiness and distress? Tolerate. Tatikshashva means tolerate. Tams tatikshashva bharata. We have to tolerate them without being disturbed. So in other words, one in Varnashram, you have to do your duty without being attached to the result. Whatever comes, that's up to Krishna. Something good comes, up to Krishna. Something doesn't happen that you expect, that's up to Krishna. Then you're out. Especially a devotee. Prabhupada talks about a devotee. Devotee has his prescribed duty. Now Prabhupada said a devotee, Vaishnava, he is above Varnashram, actually. He is above. He doesn't have to follow the rules of the Varnashram because he is engaged in devotional service to Krishna. That is above him. Sometimes he follows to set the example. he is engaging his duties and leaving the results to Krishna. So we are doing our deity worship, we are going for Sankirtan, we are doing work in the restaurant, we are going for work in our business, we are going to the school, we are going to college, we are, so many activities, or we are doing different activities. And a devotee is just doing it, doing his duty as far as that's concerned. And don't be attached to the results. One has to live in the world and do his duty to the best of his ability, without being attached to the results. So whether it's in Varnashram or whether it's devotional service, that's the underlying principle. Best of your ability. You're cooking for Krishna, best of your ability. Doing the deity worship, best of your ability. Going for Sankirtan, best of your ability. The results, whether you sell one book or 10 books or 50 books, of course one can feel some sort of satisfaction that so many people are getting Krishna's books. But as far as the number and as far as your own prestige or anything like that, don't become subjected to that type of effect. This is what Prabhupada is saying here. This happiness and distress are just like waves. We shouldn't be carried away by these waves. Waves, Prabhupada calls them the waves of material nature. They come and go. Come and go. Just like waves of the ocean, waves of the river, they come and go. Waves come in. Sometimes the waves will come in and dump seaweed. And the seaweed will be very entangled. And the next wave comes in, pick it up and take it out and strew it all over. Continuously. So if you're going to be affected by waves, they're coming and going continuously. You're always going to be affected by what's going on in the world. So that's the problem. You'll be lamenting, you'll be happy, you'll be lamenting, you'll be happy, you'll be up, you'll be down. So this is a very unintelligent position. So those who have transcendent knowledge, they can understand these things. And they remain steady in all activities in the world. In this way, they live their life performing their duties to the best of their ability. And the end of life, they go back home, back to Godhead. And as Krishna says here in this verse that I read from Bhagavad Gita. Tasmara shakta shatatam karyam karma samachara ashakta yacharam karma param apnati purusha. Without being attached to the fruit of activity, one should act as a matter of duty. By working without attachment, one attains the Supreme. For by working without attachment, one attains the Supreme. This is a very, very important point. You want to go back home, back to Godhead? You can't do it remaining attached to happiness and distress in this world, results of your activities. You're attached to these things, therefore you have to come back again to get the result of your attachments. Get the result of your activities. But if you remain unattached, just performing devotional service, then you're in a transcendental position. Ultimately, you go back home, back to Godhead. I remember one time when one Indian gentleman was with Prabhupada, and at one point he said to Prabhupada, Swamiji, can you read my palm? And Prabhupada said, we are not doing these things. He was persistent. Swami, please, you read my palm. No, no, we are not. Swami, please, you read my palm. All right, give me your hand, Prabhupada said. And he looked at it. Then he gave it back. All bad. Because in the world, I mean, good karma, bad karma. We don't talk, I mean, some people talk like good karma. This is good karma, bad karma. Karma is karma. Action and reaction, you have to stay in the world to get it. Whether it's relatively good, you go to the higher planets, or whether you have to suffer something in the lower planetary systems, or you know, be punished in the hellish planets. It is all, as far as the devotee is concerned, it is all bad of the material world. Of course, someone can come to the material world and engage in Krishna service or preach Krishna consciousness. That's another thing. That's on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's all good. And I remember when Prabhupada came one time to Australia, one of the journalists asked Prabhupada, how do you like it in this country, your divine grace? Prabhupada said, I like it everywhere. I like it everywhere. What's the difference? This country, that country, the other country. So someone who is a devotee, he can go anywhere. Only the materialists make distinctions. I like this place better than this place. This place has got nicer, this is nicer here, and that over there, that's not so nice. So I like here, I like it there. So you distinguish in this Srimad Bhagavatam. It's mentioned that sometimes the sinful person, not sometimes, the sinful person has to be punished, and he has to go to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj will, the Yamadutas will punish him, and then he has to be prepared for the next body. Prabhupada has said the next body may be the body of a pig. So he's given a subtle body of the pig before he takes the gross body, and he has fed stool to prepare him for the next body. So that is very horrible for someone, little soul who has come from the human, but he is fed. He is fed all different types of stool. Hot stool, cold stool. And then when he is fed hot stool, then he is given cold stool. And then if the living entity says, oh, don't give me the cold stool, I like the hot stool better. Then Prabhupada said he is ready to go in the next body. He has made distinction. The hot stool is better than the cold stool. Oh, he's a pig. Now he's a pig. Now he's got the pig mentality. He's ready to go in the body. You are distinguishing. So we are prepared like that. So this is only this is the position of someone who is not in the transcendental position. One should not be morose or unhappy because of circumstance changes. This is a symptom of a devotee, Prabhupada says here. Devotee carries out his duty in Krishna consciousness and never unhappy in all circumstances. But of course, Prabhupada is talking about very advanced devotee. We are going on the path. We find ourselves being affected by favorable and unfavorable circumstances. When it's something in a nice facility or something is, relationships are good, we are feeling good, we are feeling happy. When with a reverse, something very detrimental, we find ourselves relationship is not, then we're being affected that way. So we can understand as devotees that we are not on the high platforms yet. But Prabhupada specifically states the platform that we should endeavor to be on. Maybe we're not on that platform now. We are affected by so many circumstances. But the goal is to come to the platform of being unaffected. How to do that, Tanti Tikshifra? We have to practice tolerating. When something reverse happens, no, I have to tolerate this reverse. Something good, some happy situation, I'm not going to get overly affected by this. Just like them in the karmis, I always see this every year on New Year's Eve. We always go like do Harinams and we chant through the streets on New Year's Eve. So as the clock ticks down, you know, 1 minute to 12, 30 seconds, 15, 10, the Kami's always 10, 9, 8, 11, 6, 5, Happy New Year, they're all happy. But for a devotee, what's the we've gone from 1 year to the next year, so what's the difference? For a devotee, we just keep chanting Hare Krishna. It doesn't matter to us whether it just went from 2008 to 2009, or it went from 2009 to 2000. Only materialists make these distinctions and get affected. They're happy all of a sudden it's gone from 1 year to the next. Why are they so happy? So a devotee is not affected by that happiness. You don't see devotees jumping up and down, oh, it's now it's 2009, oh, hoodie, hoodie, boo. What's the difference for us? So devotees, so we're not affected by the jubilation of the world. We're not affected by the misery. Of course, we understand we're going along. From time to time we get affected. That means we're not totally on the transcendental platform as yet. We've still got it, our mind, our body is still affected by circumstantial changes. But Prabhupada talks about it. He says, a devotee, Vaishnava, a devotee, and he's talking about a devotee in a transcendental position, carries out his duty, he's never unhappy in awkward circumstances. He has full faith. Now, Prabhupada explains it very nicely. We have to have tolerance, we have to have faith. This is another point he makes here. We have to have faith that Krishna protects us, Krishna will look after us. See, when there is a reverse and we get very upset and we try to change it around, speculating on what, that means our faith is not strong. We were just, Krishna will look after us in his own way. So if the devotee has to have faith, he has to have tolerance, and the devotee should never, another point is made here, should never deviate because of circumstances. I reduce my Krishna consciousness. This circumstance is very unfavorable, so I'm not going to be so Krishna conscious. Or this circumstance, then I'm going to be more Krishna conscious. So, of course, we understand as beginning devotees, I have to speak for myself, that we do get affected, but the high-level devotee doesn't get affected by that. So don't deviate. Because of a reversal of circumstances, favorable or unfavorable. Give up your Krishna consciousness altogether. Sometimes something happens, that's it. You know, I remember one time when I was a temple president many years ago, one devotee came to me, brahmachari, new bhakta, came to me. He said, "That's it, I'm leaving Krishna consciousness." I said, "Why?" He said, "That I've had enough, you know. Someone again stole my gumsha from the locker." Right? Again, every time I said, "Don't worry, Prabhu, we'll find out what's going on, and from now on we'll try to find out who's doing that, and from now on we have to make a lock-up arrangement so this cannot happen. Whatever you don't leave Krishna." Don't worry, I had to calm him down, finally convince him to stay, because he had enough. And that was it, that was the last straw. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. That's it, this is the third time my gumsha's been stolen. So then he was going to leave Krishna consciousness out of it, for that reason. You know, who knows what reason? You know, one devotee came one time to me and said that's it. You know, every time I ask for an extra pakura, that particular devotee doesn't give it to me. I know he's doing it out of spite. Right? And that devotee was feeling very disturbed and it was affecting his Krishna consciousness. So, you know, we get affected by the smallest things sometimes. Of course, in our mind, it's a big thing. In our mind. But, you know, when you try to understand it in proper perspective, then it's all temporary. These things are temporary. Why get so upset? Why get so affected? So we have to understand, have to have tolerance, we have to have faith, we should stick on the path, not deviate. And how, by paramadrishtva, this is explained by Krishna, rasoham apsukunte prabhakrishas, pranavasavi shabda ki purusham rishu. What is that verse? Paramadrishtva, vishayava nivartante, nilahara siddhinam rasavajam prasavishtam. Paramadrishtva nivartante. How do one remain fixed on the path by experiencing the paramadrishtva, the higher place? You're always chanting, dancing, engaging in devotional service, understanding the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, teachings of Krishna. And then you'll get a taste, such high taste, these other things, you won't be so affected. So tolerance, faith, steady, and getting the higher taste, then you'll be, a Prabhupada calls it here, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. You'll be in a transcendental situation, transcendental to happiness and distress. One who is transcendentally situated, once realized the Supreme Mind, becomes joyful. When one is undisturbed by material circumstances, he should be understood to be on the transcendental stage, above the reactions of the three modes of material nature. This is all coming from our being affected by the modes of material nature. And we become moody. Moody means you're affected by the modes of material nature. That's a moody person. Sometimes you don't have to even say anything to a moody person. They're going to be angry with you. Just a look. A look will do it. What are you looking at? You look at that person. What are you looking at? Why are you said it like that for? You'll be so disturbed. That person is very agitated already. You'll look or you won't look. Why you didn't look at me? Why are you avoiding me? Anything. Isn't it? So, but that's not Brahma Bhuta Pratham. Of course, someone says like that to you, then you react back to him, then he react back to him, and the whole thing. All right. Hare Krishna, I'll read this verse again, if anyone has any question or comment. Tariram kalarasanam jagat pasyanti suraya narishanti nasochanti tatpadiyam pandita. Seeing the movements of time, those who are cognizant of the real truth neither rejoice nor lament the different circumstances. Therefore, because you are jubilant due to your victory, you should be considered not relearned. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for the nice class.
Thank you.
But my question is that, as you said, like, not affected by anything, especially in the last examples you mentioned, where the devotee, like, in exchanges with devotees, he doesn't get affected. But like the relationship between devotees, there has to be like some exchanges and some expectations. Otherwise, if you are just not affected by anything, like there is a tendency of being impersonalist. Oh, if that whatever happens, I don't care. Or whatever happens to me, I don't care. Like, so how to mark a difference between that? Okay, this is the proper relationship between devotees, where you are taken care of and you take care, and the other thing where...
Yes. No, therefore, you have to understand these things according to the statements of... See, we have a concept of what being unattached and just doing your duty is. That tends to be impersonal. But when we understand that doing your duty according to the Shastras, you know, there's instruction in Nectar of Devotion, how to deal with the devotees. That's also part of your duty. You're unattached to the results, but you understand how to deal with the devotees. You can't be impersonal. You can't ignore devotees. Being unattached doesn't mean you ignore, you haven't got feeling. You've got feeling, but in an unattached way. And because we're coming from a very impersonalist conditioning, we tend to think like that. Our concept is like, oh, well, if I'm unattached, I'll lack any feeling, I'll ignore people, I'll commit offence like that. So how to do it? Therefore, you have to understand how to do your duties by the statements of the Shastra. by the statements of your guru, by the statements of the senior Vaishnavas, how to be unattached at the same time, have nice relationships with the devotees. And this is all explained very nicely. Vaishnava etiquette. There are shastras, Hari Bhakti Vilas, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Upadeshamrita, so many shastras, Srimad Bhagavatam, so many shastras, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can read how the devotees interact with each other. And at the same time, simultaneously, being unattached. Now this is something that materialists can't understand, or in personal state, no question. How you do all these things, just like one has to be confident. How you can be unattached, how you can be humble, and simultaneously be confident, simultaneously have good relationships. So the materialists have got no instruction as far as that's concerned, so therefore they tend to go impersonal. So for lack of understanding and knowledge that's there in the Shastra, we tend to conclude, our concept is we will ignore people, we will be have no feelings, we will perhaps be offensive because of the... No, it's not like that. Therefore, we have to study, we have to study a lot and see what are the instructions of the gurus, of the Shastra, of the senior Vaishnavas. And then you'll know how to do all these things together, being unattached but have good relationship, be friendly, be warm. You can be unattached and warm. We tend to think unattached and cold. Sometimes it can be like that. Prabhupada sometimes was a little cold, seemingly, but he wasn't cold. But simultaneously he was warm. The contradictions are all resolved when, seeming contradictions are all resolved when you see things, understand things from all the different perspectives of the teachings of the Shastras and Gurus and Sadhus. And seeing how they do their example, how they're doing it, how they're unattached, how they're also relating. This is a great mystery. How you be unattached and also relate, and have relationships and have, you know, that's, so you have to learn that. You have to learn those things. It takes time. It does take time. You have to be going along the path. Yes, please.
Bali Maharaj is also a devotee, and he's fighting with the demigods. They are also devotees. It's difficult to understand.
I don't think that's working.
Doesn't seem to be.
You might as well speak.
Yeah. So it's difficult to understand why devotees are fighting each other to kill each other.
Try to what?
To fight each other, and they are trying to kill each other. It's difficult to understand.
Yes, because Kshatriya is just like a battle of Kurukshetra, same thing, how did it happen? The nature of the world, and according to that, you have to do your duty on one side, so on and so forth. There's the greater plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as the asuras are concerned, they're impelled by the modes of material nature. Now, Bali Maharaj is a great devotee. He was doing out of duty, he had to do. His circumstance, out of duty, Bhishma Day, one of the Mahajans, he had to do it out of duty, but he was unattached to the situation. Dronacharya the same, unattached, and just circumstance, he found himself, he had to do it, and that was Krishna's desire also. So there's a circumstance and Krishna's desire, they were following it. So Bali Maharaj, you know, sometimes great devotees are put in the asura families just to help the asuras. They follow them. Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj. Like that. So they're just doing out of duty. They're fighting. Kshatriya codes.
They have to give protection. They're chakras. Just like in modern day, you have the army. If someone comes to attack, they have to fight. That's their duty. Police necessary. Just imagine we didn't have police. What would happen? They have to do their duty. You can't criticize for that. Of course, you know, the modern situation is all, they don't know what their duty proper. But nevertheless, they have to do their duties. Whether they're a politician, a policeman, in the army, priest, whatever, they have to do their duty. So you have to do your duty. Sometimes it involves activities. Ultimately, you are supposed to come to the transmission. When you come to the transmission fully, then you're no longer bound by those duties. And that actually mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita by Krishna. For the self-realized soul, there is no duty for them. He said that. The self-realized, there's no duty for them. He's not bound by those. So Bali Maharaj was in that situation. We have to do this fighting. By unattached. Any other questions?
Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Kamandir. Jai. 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 Jai.